This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome to Monday, August the 3rd. Be with you. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Kelly Bidlin. Thanks for hanging out with us as we broadcast, as always, from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. It is it's going to be a crazy day here on the network. You want to make sure you're tuned in all day long. We've got live coverage of the baseball trade deadline, the ramifications in the betting market once the moves are made, seeing how these numbers are moving. Stay with VSiN all day long as we got you covered in that regard today on the network. But we're getting ready for football season as well. Our college football betting guide, it dropped earlier today up at VSiN.com. A couple teases for you in case you were wondering. Paul Stone, professional bettor, with his top 15 quarterbacks in the country, Zachary Cohen, looking at the Heisman market. Zach also talking about a few teams he likes for win totals in the playoff. One in BYU to make the playoff. Wisconsin over 6.5, 7.5 wins. And the last one for Zach, LSU over 8.5 wins and to make the college football playoff, which is something I think our next guest could get behind. And I am so pumped to finally talk to this guy on the air, not just because I love him and he's super sharp, but because I get to say the word booby prize.
That's right, booby prize winner.
And Bill AD can't yell at me. So 2020 Circa booby prize winner, handicapper extraordinaire. He's Michael Montesano. Check him out on X at Bets and Reps. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Mike, what's up, buddy? How are we feeling today? We ready for football?
Yeah, man. We're ready. Enough of this baseball stuff. I'm over it.
So. Are you like me where baseball was going pretty, I wouldn't say I was having a monster, but it was going pretty well for 3-4 months where I was like, all right, every day I'm doing pretty good. And then the last 3 weeks, I'm on a dog, they don't have a chance. I'm on a favorite, they don't have a chance. I'm on the over, it goes, I could not pick it right if I had the playbook ahead of time. Is that how your baseball season's gone too?
Yeah, I don't bet that much baseball. Yesterday, I had one bet, and it was confirmed by a pretty good baseball handicapper, Sean Higgs. And you know, I had the Red Sox, but other than that, you know, I usually do first fives or, you know, first five totals. It's just, I think Gil said this. What got him out of betting baseball every single day was 1 year after the All-Star break, he just like hit the tank and it was just hit the skids and it was like, yeah, that's it for me or something.
You know, yeah, it is quite an endeavor.
After the All-Star break is real quirky. You don't know where guys are going to go and, you know, where their heads are at. You got the All-Star break and, you know, who knows? And they got, you know, teams are completely out of it and they're calling up guys from the minors. It's tough.
Yeah, and you assume teams are like not going to win anymore because they traded away pieces, but the reality is they're humans who are still trying to win. Speaking of humans, yeah. Lane Kiffin, a borderline human, I think, by some people's accounts, he takes over at LSU. And I'm hearing a lot of people make the anti-LSU case, and I get it. Like, the way he handled Ole Miss, you don't like him. But from a pure talent perspective, from a coaching standard that's being set there in Baton Rouge, I'm with you. I think the LSU Tigers are a team I'm looking to buy on this year. How do you want to attack them in the futures market?
So what I did is I took, you know, I have a projection system and it spits out regular season win totals. It also spit out conference win totals. Well, what I did was instead of taking them over 8.5, I took them in their conference over 5.5 wins because I got a plus price at that at plus 115. If they win, if you're going to take them over 8.5, they're minus 115. So they have to win their three non-conference games. So if they're going to win their three non-conference games, they have to win six conference games, right? To go over the 8.5. So I went over 5.5 conference wins at plus 115. Listen, I'm probably in the minority. Maybe you and I are simpatico, but I like Kiffin as a coach. I'm going to leave all the personal stuff aside and what he did last year, but they have all the talent in the world. They're number two in talent ratings. He's bringing a quarterback from Arizona State that led them to the college football playoff a few years back. If Sam Leavitt is healthy, I think he's an extremely, extremely underrated QB, and we've seen what Lane Kiffin has done over the last couple of years with Jackson Dart, who's a first round pick, Trinidad Chambliss, who everyone loves. He's like, you know, is a Heisman Trophy candidate this year and probably a first round pick. I think he's gonna hone in Sam Leavitt. Again, with all the talent, their schedule is favorable. You know, I'm looking at their schedule right now. It's tough, but it's manageable. Maybe not favorable, but it's manageable. So over 5.5 wins, I got them at 6.5 conference wins. So maybe my numbers are a little bit higher than what some think that they might do. But I'm going to jump on that plus price at plus 115.
Yeah, Mike, I like the look with the conference wins angle, getting a little bit better price there. I think that makes a lot of sense. And so a good reminder just for everybody out there, there are so many markets up. And if you're isolated on one bet, shop around might be a better market to make that same sort of bet in, like Mike's doing with these win totals. Sticking to the SEC, you got another one that you're looking at playing here.
Yeah, we're going to stick with the same market, the conference win totals, and I'm going to go Florida under 4.5 wins. I'm a big fan of John Summerall. Those who followed me last year know I had Tulane at plus 300 to win the American, and so again, I think this is a great hire. But we're talking about continuity. We're talking about a completely new system, the transfer portal, new guys trying to get acclimated, and I just don't have them maybe excelling in the first year as they might do in the next two or three years. Brutal conference schedule at Auburn, at Missouri, at Texas, at Kentucky. You know, they got tough home games, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. You know, I think an improved South Carolina team, and I think a pretty good Vanderbilt team, which some I've heard on the network don't like Vandy this year. That's fine. I think Vandy with their top quarterback, with their number one rated quarterback, who's a freshman coming in, you know, and they have a pretty good coach. I think they're going to be decent. So with all that, a tough first year, and I'm going to project them. I have them projected at 3.2 conference wins, probably more likely to 4 wins. I can see them getting. I can't see them getting over 4 wins. So I took them under 4.5.
Michael Montesano is our guest at Bets and Reps on X, professional handicapper 2020 Circa Booby Prize winner. I just love getting to say it.
You can say it if you can say it.
Yeah, if I can say it, I can say it. Hey, look, it's early for your boy. Your boy's got one more week of doing daytime. Oh, it's been an adjustment. I'm finally, like, getting caught up on it, and I go back to nights very soon. Mm-hmm. Sunbelt.
Hey, I won the Booby Prize, but last year I finished 83rd, tied for 83rd. In Circa Millions, that might be more impressive than winning the Booby Prize, because there's over 5,500 people entries. So I don't know. I didn't win as much money, but
I would argue with you. Once you start to try to pick losers, you find out that might actually be harder than picking the winner sometimes. So I don't know, man. The Booby Prize is pretty impressive. The Sun Belt Conference. I don't understand the pricing here. I understand James Madison. The last two coaches, Cignetti and Chesney, have been awesome. But it's Billy Napier coming in. They return nobody. They lose Alonzo Barnett, the quarterback. They're plus 270 to win the Sun Belt. And this is a league that has divisions. Old Dominion after them, plus 460. Louisiana, 7-1. Troy, 8-1. Marshall, 8.5-1. Then it's 10-1 or longer from there. How do you want to attack the Sun Belt from a futures perspective?
Yeah, so like you said, there's still the one conference that has the two divisions, so you can actually bet on who will win each division. And I took Troy to win the Sun Belt West at plus 350. If you just look at Troy's program last year, they got to the final, the championship game last year versus JMU, who I did have to win the conference last year. And I also had JMU at 10-1 to make the college football playoff. But Troy had a valiant effort. They didn't win. So they're coming back this year with Gerard Parker in his third season as the coach. I also had over 5.5 with Troy last year on the win total, but they have an experienced quarterback in Goose Crowder, his sixth year at the helm. Very experienced, tough kid. I like him. But the thing to look at is Troy didn't do that well on the offensive side of the ball last year, averaging about 24 points per game. They brought in offensive coordinator from Tarleton State, Adam Austin. Mm-hmm. Well, last year, Tarleton State put up over 40 points per game. So I like that hire. I've watched the video clips from spring ball. I've listened to what they're saying. It seems like they're, you know, sometimes new offensive systems, it takes a little bit to get acclimated with the players, but it sounds like all systems are go. Goose did a tremendous job in the spring. They do have a quality backup as well in case he gets hurt. But They have a challenge in the Sun Belt West. All these teams are pretty equal, but at plus 350, when you have the coaching advantage, the new offensive coordinator, the experienced QB, I grab them at plus 350 to win the Sun Belt West.
All right, well, real quick before we go, in about a minute or so, you have two futures in the MAC that you like. What are you looking at?
Yeah, we're going to go to Toledo, which last year, unfortunately, I had them over 8.5 wins last year. They got to 8 wins, and we all know the history of Jason Kando losing his double-digit favorites, and he did that last year in 2 games, or that would have went over the total. But they have a new coach this year, and probably not a lot of people have heard about him, Mike Jacobs. He's coming over from Mercer. And he did a tremendous job winning back-to-back conference championships at Mercer. If you just go to Sagarin ratings, I do not do FCS ratings, but Sagarin does. They were higher than several of the MAC teams last year. So he's bringing over several of his top players. I have 7 games where they're at 3.5-point favorites or higher, 3 additional toss-up games. So at over 7.5, I jumped on Toledo in that regular season win total.
He is Michael Montesano. You can follow him on X, Bets and Reps. You can see his college football ratings as well in his Substack. Appreciate the time, man. Great to finally talk with you here on the program. And we will do more than DMing in the future. We will become texting buddies now.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, awesome Mike. Stuff. I really like where his head's at with Troy and with LSU specifically. I think everyone's getting really in their feelings and they're making it personal with Lane Kiffin. That team's loaded. I like the upside potential.
You know, Matt Brown was sitting on this desk last week before you were, man. It is very split LSU opinions we've heard over the past week on this show.
Well, maybe we can get an opinion on the player to lead the league in rushing. There is someone who wants the title. I'll explain why he can't lead the league in rushing next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets.
Way to go.
I'm waiting for it.
We get tweets?
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. I can't go forward unless I get the echo from you. We get tweets at VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson, at Kelly Bidlin. A lot of them coming in here early, and I thought there was a really good one from Chris Heath early on in the program. So I said the Dodgers aren't a lock after acquiring Scooble to win the World Series. I said there are no such things as locks. He said nothing's a lock. Well, Mayweather money line over McGregor is on the phone. I'd say that is correct, but we're talking about real sports. That was an event that probably shouldn't even been sanctioned.
That was awesome. Yeah.
People made a lot of money laying heavy juice. Don't let people tell you you can't win money laying heavy juice. But that's what happened there. Spencer writes in, as I looked at my top 5 teams to knock off the Dodgers. He says the Braves have the number 1 bullpen in baseball, an explosive lineup, quality starters, great defense. He loves them to make the World Series versus the Rays. Dodgers won't make the World Series, and they know how to win, do the Braves. Wow.
All right.
Rays, Braves, exacta? My God, nobody in America would watch that. Rob Manfred will not let that happen. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
There's no shot that happens. Let's see. John A. Cornell Jr. writes in, I liked what you said about the Dodgers adding Scooble, how it's a good thing. Nailed it. Bullseye. It is. They have a bullseye on their back.
Mm-hmm.
This is good for baseball. I think people need to stop thinking just because you don't enjoy something doesn't mean it's not good for the whole. Your hatred is good. It's like the discussion we had a few weeks ago where I admitted I was wrong, which doesn't happen often. No, I'm wrong a lot. I just don't admit I'm wrong is the point. It's not that I'm not wrong a lot. I admitted because some smart listener tweeted me and said that when you talk about regression, there's no such thing as positive or negative. Regression has no delineation between the two. It's just regression. And I'd say that a move like this and the attention it brings and what it does to the sport and the eyeballs that are going to be on the Dodgers now, it's good for baseball. It's good for baseball to have the Dodgers acting this way because – I mean, Lord knows the other teams had an opportunity to do it, and they didn't pull the trigger here. Mm-hmm. Let's see. One more tweet here. Brian Morian writes in, Booby prize winner and a Florida under. Big day for the bearded brothers.
That's great.
That is good. You know, that is good. Because you're Florida State on Miami. The one thing we can agree on is we hate the Gators.
Yeah, that was refreshing from Mike. Absolutely. I've had to sit and hear way too much about the Miami Hurricanes over the past few weeks. So Florida under definitely was nice. You want to take a guess on the price for Brewers to beat the Rays?
Brewers to beat the Rays?
That's the shorter of the two.
Well,
for
no,
exacta.
He liked the Braves. Braves Rays.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking up the wrong damn thing.
Yeah,
Braves Rays. Same price.
60 to 1?
40.
I wasn't that far off.
Yeah, no, you weren't. You weren't.
40 to 1.
I think I would have guessed your number. I thought it was going to be a little longer than this.
And for that reason alone, I can't bet it. Like, the fact that I'm 20 off there,
right.
I can't touch it. So, NFL camps currently going down all around the league. And, you know, I was looking at this quote. We can cue up the audio if we have Devon Achane here, because this was, I thought, a very, very interesting thing for him to say, considering where the Miami Dolphins are at. But Devon Achane has been a beast. And when he's healthy, he's one of, if not the most dynamic player in the league with the ball in his hands, just making guys miss, made Tua look really a lot better than he should have the last couple of years. And Tua's looked horrible. Because he could take short passes, he took the burden off him with his ability to pick up huge run bursts on the ground. Achane went on NFL Network and asked about his goals for the season. Here's what the Dolphins running back had to say.
One thing for you that you put on your goal marker, say, hey, if I do this year, if we do this, this is a successful year for the Dolphins.
You know, for me, it's far as like, you know, trying to get the rushing title. That's something I want to do this year. And I feel like if I got the rushing title, then obviously, you know, every game, we doing something good. If we're productive, if I'm being productive and, you know, helping my team win, then I feel like as a whole, we're going to be great. And like you said, man, I've been here. We got a lot of new faces. So I feel like, you know, I got to go out there. I got to lead and I got to show by example. And I feel like my teammates going to follow.
Okay. I think he has the ability as a human being to one day be a rushing yard leader. I went through the numbers. Here's what you have to do to lead the NFL in rushing these days. This is going back to 2015. Mm-hmm. So 11 seasons worth of data here. James Cook led the league in rushing with 1,600 yards a year ago. His team went 12-5. And when you start diving into the numbers here with Barkley in 24, McCaffrey in 23, those two, by the way, won offensive player of the year. There are certain trends that I think really stand out here. For starters, the average age is 25.3. 9 of the 11 on this list were between ages of 22 to 27. Adrian Peterson's your outlier there at 30 years old in 2015. The average wins for a team, though, 10.6. The only person on a losing team to lead the NFL in rushing was Josh Jacobs when his Raiders went 6-11 that year. Everyone else has been on a winning team. In fact, the only other player than Jacobs to lead the league in rushing and not make the playoffs was Jonathan Taylor back in 2021. The Colts were the 8th seed outside looking in. Unless you believe Miami's a playoff team, Devon Achane cannot be someone you're looking at to lead the league in rushing, Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other side of this is, okay, when I start thinking about this market, look, it is a betting market. Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry, your short shots.
Super short.
Yeah, 6-1 to lead the regular season in rushing. I think when I first start thinking about this, it's, okay, who's opportunities for attempts? Who's going to have the most carries here?
And
you start looking at those backfields. Now, Devon Achane, he should get a ton
He's
of
awesome.
Carries. He's the best player on that offense. There's really not many other weapons outside of him, but we know how this story goes. Yeah, of course the Dolphins are going to want to run the ball a bunch until you're down 21 points in the game and you got to start throwing it. You don't have a choice.
You can't run the ball if you're losing because you're trying to throw from behind and come back and make it interesting and close the gap. Devon Achane is going to lose so many second half rushes to these other guys. That's why this is correlated. If your team is winning, you are running the clock out in the late third, early fourth quarter, trying to bury teams and put them away. You're trying to keep the clock churning. You're trying to pick up first downs. That's why you can't touch Devon Achane, who's 15-1 to win this thing. The problem is, who do you want to bet?
Right, yeah.
Because this is like offensive player of the year. The path for Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson really makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Gibbs.
This is a tough race to call.
Taylor's the favorite at 6-1. And the question for me with Taylor is always, can he stay healthy? Last year was his first healthy season since 2021. Colts do have the 5th easiest schedule, so that would imply that they'll be running late as the season goes on. back-to-back years for him of 1,400, 1,500 yards. If he can improve a little bit on this, if he can improve a little bit on what he's done the last 2 years, I think he can potentially do it. But again, you're asking a lot out of Jonathan Taylor, who hasn't always stayed on the field. Jahmyr Gibbs, 7-1. I think the path is there. Larger workload with Montgomery gone. He's just a super short price. So I don't know if you really have a betting edge in tying up your money at 7-1. But the thing that you like about Gibbs is you don't need as many carries as others. He can break off big runs anywhere on the field. Right. He can score from anywhere on the field. And he's going to get more volume than he's ever gotten. He was 9th in the league a season ago, 5 yards per carry, 1,200 yards. If you figure he's going to get more carries and he can continue that average, he absolutely can win this
thing. I mean, I think shipping out David Montgomery, it's clear indication. And yes, I know they've brought in help, but I think it's clear indication that you should expect his carries to increase this year. So, yeah, I think he would be up there for me, man.
Bijan Robinson's the other guy that's a very easy case for me to make. 5th in yards per attempt a year ago. That was with Tyler Allgeier stealing some carries. There's a track record with Stefanski that I like. So in 2020 in Cleveland, Chubb and Kareem Hunt had over 1,000 and 800 yards apiece. Chubb in 2021 had almost 1,300. Chubb in 2022 had over 1,500. If he's getting that out of Nick Chubb, who's kind of a plotter, Bijan's a different animal, way more explosive. He had 1,478 a year ago. And that would have been good enough to win this title in 3 out of the last 10 years. But it's so short. How do you choose between Taylor, Gibbs, and Robinson? And I don't know if I want to take flyers on long shots, but here's the two that jumped out to me. And they're long shots for a reason, okay?
Wait, real quick. So top of the board, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, 6-1, just so everybody knows. James Cook, plus 650. Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan, 7-1. Then we're at Saquon, 10-1. Achan, 15-1. So everybody else longer than that. Yeah, short shots. I'm with. I think Taylor's really live. I don't know that I necessarily think. I mean, I know he did it last year, and I'm really coming across as a hater recently on this guy. Don't know that Derrick Henry I'm gravitating towards at 6-1.
If you want to go rushing touchdown leader,
yeah, I could get on board for that.
But I think they're going to try and manage his reps a little bit here for the postseason when it matters, because they're only judged by what they do in the playoffs. Here's the two long shots I like: Kenneth Walker, 30-1.
Love it.
The age is right where he's at. He's going to be a three-down back. He needs to stay healthy. Earlier in his career, he had some issues. But more importantly, he just got paid. They're going to run him into the ground, especially because they don't want Mahomes to run as much, coming off another lower body injury. The question is, can he handle the workload? And he's off a career-high 17 games, but only at 1,000 yards. He was splitting time with Charbonnet. Can he be a true lead back? Well, if they're winning late in games and he's icing teams and putting them away, he makes sense. And the other long shot, this one's for funsies, Chase Brown is 50-1. High scoring offense, third easiest schedule. Mm-hmm. If they're blowing teams out, he's going to be running a lot in the fourth quarter. But the issue I have is they are such a passing centric team. I don't know if he gets the bulk that you're looking for to wind up winning this award.
Yeah.
So
I think I saw you wrote it down too. Amari and Hampton's interesting to me as well.
Yeah, that's another name, but there's just not a track record there. More on the NFL and the Scooble trade to the Dodgers forthcoming on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's A Numbers Game. Dustin Sweetelson filling in for Gil Alexander. He is in parts unknown within San Francisco.
I was going to say, I think he's still in San Francisco.
I have a feeling.
Texted with him over the weekend, but I guess I didn't ask that.
No, that's interesting. He loves San Francisco. He kept his place in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. He lived there for a long time.
Loves South Florida, though, too. He was supposed to go to Miami, and I think they canceled it.
Oh, really?
The weather. He just kept talking about the weather being so damn nice in San Francisco.
But you've moved around a lot. I've moved around a lot.
Yep.
Is there one place, I'm not going to say to move back to, but is there one place that you lived in where, because I know you go to Florida a lot because family's there, but is there one place you lived where you're like, you know what? I got to just go back there more because I miss it.
Oh, man. Put it that way. No, not really. Not really. I thought you were going to say go to move to again.
Would you move to anywhere again?
Southern California. I mean, I lived outside L.A. when I was a kid. I get Gil's obsession with San Francisco. I get it. Well, like the weather is so perfect. Like, California is just awesome to live in.
The thing about California is it offers everything you're looking for. If you want the city, if you want the beach, if you want the mountains, if you want the suburbs, like, it just depends on where you want to go. You can have what you want. Well, if you can afford it, you can have what you want.
I was
going
to say, now affording to live there is a different conversation.
Yeah,
Dustin,
as someone who lived in L.A. for 5 years, I would tell you the afford part is certainly, that is the challenge of living there. Yeah, the only place I've lived that I haven't been back to in a long time, and I need to go, and I want to go during football, but I can't go during football because we can't take off, is Valdosta, Georgia.
Right.
I want to go back to a Valdosta State football game and hang out.
I had someone I went to school with the other day ask me about that. And I'm like, I'm not itching to carve time out to get back to Tallahassee. It's not
really
just not a short trip from here. I think it'd be different if I was still like living somewhere close.
It's not a fun. So I flew to Tallahassee in 2017 or 18 for a wedding because my friend got married out there. He lives out there. And I think I flew.
I was just going to say, where'd you connect that?
I think I flew to
that
Atlanta.
Is a small regional airport.
I flew to Atlanta and drove one of my parents' cars down.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Flights are, they're pretty tough. They're pretty scarce.
Well, Tallahassee airport's tough. Jacksonville's too far away. You're still driving like 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. Yeah, you're kind of in no man's land.
Right, yeah. I would think most flight options, it's probably Jacksonville and then drive over. But yeah, it's a multiple-hour drive.
Yeah, it's
a long way to go from Las Vegas.
People don't realize about Tallahassee. One, somehow it's the capital of Florida. I don't really understand
that. It is, yep.
Two, you are landlocked. It's like, of the Florida schools that could like promote, come to Florida, live at the beach, they can't do that.
Oh, Gainesville ain't doing it either, yeah.
Tallahassee is just Southern Georgia.
It really is.
People don't want to admit it. It's just Southern Georgia.
It's how Florida works. The further north you go, the further into the south you get.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You know what? I haven't been back to Moscow, Russia, or Caracas, Venezuela anytime recently.
I don't think I'm going to be going back there anytime soon. I don't know if they're going to quite be like, welcome home. All right. With that, you're seeing some news come out with NFL training camps. Kelly, what jumps out to you right now?
Just everybody always getting hurt in every year in training camp. It's tough to watch. Kobe Bryant, safety for the Bears. You may remember him from the Seahawks championship run last year. He left the field this morning, carted off with a left knee injury, reportedly seen smashing his helmet on the ground as he was going. So not exactly ideal there for the Bears, who were very, very much planning on getting some help from him on the defensive side of the ball. And then this might be my favorite training camp story so far. Dustin, Aaron Rodgers saying today that Mike McCarthy wants him to play in the first two preseason games against the Packers and the Jets. Quote, he wants me out there for 30 or 40 plays.
What could go wrong?
This is a man who's played in two preseason games since 2018. Like, he's the king of, like, sitting out preseason. This is a wild. This just became one of the more fascinating storylines to me of the preseason.
Conspiracy. Mike McCarthy wants to start Drew Aller or Will Howard this year. That's the conspiracy. I saw an interview with Rodgers yesterday talking about, you know, the reuniting with his family, and like, there's plenty of jokes to be made. I get all that.
Good for him.
But listening to him speak, I did like the tone of his voice. Sometimes I think he's a little pretentious and preachy and trying to act like he's way more sophisticated than everyone else. I thought he came across as pretty genuine. I don't know how that translates to wins on the football field. Pittsburgh
Maybe he's at a better place in his life.
Yeah.
And as much as he can annoy me behind the microphone, I'm with you. The family story's great. Like, I don't care. It's just great to see that was a weird story always throughout his career. You feel bad for, you know, anybody in that type of situation. It's good to see him back.
Win total's 8.5. Mike Tomlin's gone. The juice is on the under, -130. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers finally not have a winning season?
Yes. Am I running to bet it, though, Dustin? No, I've been on this. I've been burnt by the Steelers under win total bet too many times.
I was going to say, I feel like you've been on it like two or three years in a row.
Too many times. I was not on it last season, but yeah, I think two or three seasons in a row before that. I will tell you, though, the one bet that like -160 you can lay for them not to make the playoffs is really tempting to me. And that is not so much anti-Pittsburgh. It's just, who else are you getting out of the way in the AFC race? I mean, we talk about the North being loaded with the Bengals and the Ravens. Out West, Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, right? And then you're going to get division winners from the rest. And that depends on how you feel about teams like the Jags, the Texans. You might really like them, the Colts even. I think this is a tough ask for the Steelers team to make the playoffs.
I don't think they're making the playoffs. I love the addition they made of Michael Pittman to pair with DK Metcalf if he can stay healthy. Low-key, the Rico Dowdle signing is huge. I was looking at Jaylen Warren's season-long rushing prop with 600.5 yards. I want to go under there. I think Dowdle is going to be very clearly the number one back between the tackles. I'm not buying this team, man, and unfortunately, it's Aaron Rodgers. You can quote all the numbers, the analytics, the EPA per dropback, all this nonsense that makes you believe that things aren't real that are real and things that are real aren't real. Whatever fairyland you want to live in, Aaron Rodgers can't do it anymore. So much of his success last year was dumping the ball off to Kenneth Gainwell and short passes. He's not mobile in the pocket. I am as a middle to bottom tier offensive line somewhere in that range. And because of that, they're going to have a really difficult time just operating their basic offense.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you, man. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit better Aaron Rodgers this year. I mean, with him making the decision to come back, Dustin, like that, I would think he thought long and hard about that this past offseason. If he thought he was going to be able to come back and only play as well and this team only do as well as what they did last year, I don't think he'd be coming back. So, whether that's Michael Pittman, the addition, or him just being more confident with the coaching staff now, I would expect a better season from Rodgers, but I'm not holding my breath on it. Last year very much could have been the beginning of the end for him.
Oh, I think it began.
Or the middle of the end.
Yeah, the middle, I was going to say, the middle of the end. Now we're at the end where they go Fiend on the screen. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're listening to A Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Some other news that came out over the weekend. This via Jason Harmon Score North on the connection between Kyler Murray and Justin Jefferson. Quote, Murray was precise, effective, decisive in 11-on-11 work, utilized Justin Jefferson early on an impressive pass downfield. While the two are still figuring out their timing together, the potential is already flashing. One thing stood out early on, Kyler Murray delivers the ball with a level of accuracy that J.J. McCarthy is still working to do consistently.
No.
Vikings win total 8.5 here, Kelly. But more importantly, we talk about offensive player of the year. Justin Jefferson, who's won the award, is 14-1. He actually has someone who might be able to deliver him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider JJ as a play here at 14-1?
I don't hate it at all. I think that market is very tough. It's very top heavy, right? Like we were just talking about last segment with the leading rusher. I think it's very top heavy. You would expect one of the winners, but I think that Jefferson number from where it would have been a couple years ago has drifted to a point where you could easily make the case there's some value there. I'm high on the Vikings. You're talking over win total. If you want to look at, I think, some of the tail end outcomes for them, whether that's division, whether it's conference, I don't have a problem with that. I think Kyler really does change things for how this Vikings team operates this year.
Yeah,
and he's comeback player of the year. Absolutely a candidate for that.
When we do the updated NFL betting guide here at VSiN, I originally had the Giants in my last NFC playoff spot because I liked them over the win total. I wanted to have, there's always a random team we don't anticipate. Mm-hmm. I don't think Minnesota's as random. 8.5 win total.
Yeah.
I think people understand the variance is there. This is a team that could win 10 games. This is a team that could win 7 games.
Right.
You just kind of don't know how it's going to go here for them. I'm starting the more and more I just let it marinate. I think this is a playoff team here with the Vikings this season. Well, you want to look at the college football playoff? You can see the predictions from 22 experts at VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up for as little as $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. You will get our college football betting guide right now. Matt Eumanns, his preseason top 50. Previews of all 138 FBS teams. 22 predictions for the conference winners. Playoff predictions. 7 of us are on Notre Dame. 4 on Oregon to win the title. 3 on Texas, 3 on Georgia, 1 on A&M, Virginia Tech, Ohio State, Alabama, and Miami. Find out who you want to back, who makes the interesting cases. I have a few win totals and a Heisman bet that I've been talking about for a while that are up there in the guide. Also, great Heisman bets from Tim Murray on Lincoln Kienholz from Louisville at 100-1. Sean Green makes the case for JKS at Cal at 65-1, and so many more. Get it right now at VSiN.com/subscribe.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson with Kelly Bidlin coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch the show live, SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, Visa Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States, God Bless America, and Game Plus in Canada. And always go back, download the show wherever you get your podcasts when it's all said and done. Looking forward to our next conversation. It's not just because he's one of the sharpest dudes out there. And we have the same bet to win the national championship in college football. Before we get to that with the VSiN College Football Betting Guide coming out, got to look back at what went down with the golf over the weekend. The Rocket Classic, the winner, Michael Thor Bjornsson. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Michael Thor Bjornsson, 45-1 to win the thing. What'd you see from the kid over the weekend? Wes Reynolds joins us here, co-host of Long Shots, VSiN betting analyst at Wes Reynolds 1 on X. What'd you think of the kid pulling it off there in Detroit?
Yeah, Dustin, I saw a guy I've bet several times throughout the season and didn't have when he won, which is kind of a pattern for me, to be honest with you, this season, just mistiming guys. And he was a guy that had a lot of pedigree, much like Jackson Koivin, who, by the way, won the 3M Open 2 weeks ago. Thor Bjornsson was that kid that was a college standout at Stanford, was the PGA Tour U winner, so got immediately promoted to the tour based on the college university points. And you know, didn't win right away. It's taken about a season and a half or two for him to win, but you kind of knew it was coming. It's all about timing it, but a great back nine yesterday to run away from a pretty good chasing pack and pretty much put it on ice with a couple holes to play. So very talented young guys, and you're seeing it with the pattern with Jackson Koivin, of course, just coming out of Auburn, winning in Minneapolis. So plenty of young talent out there on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of perfect timing by him yesterday, Wes, as we were, we were talking a bit about it on Long Shots last week or past couple weeks. Man, like the Jackson Koivin kind of national attention was maybe just a little more than I was expecting for after his win or him being the next big thing, because there are so many of these younger players out there, and we've been waiting for some of them to go and pick up a win. Thor Bjornsson getting it done. I think he'll be talked about for a while now. Just real quick before we get to the Big Ten, we'll be doing Long Shots tomorrow. We'll be up tomorrow evening. Any early thoughts about the Wyndham Championship final regular season event on the PGA Tour? Cameron Young, your short shot, plus 840. Cantlay, 17-1. And then it is Jackson Koivin at 23-1 over at DraftKings.
Yeah, here at Sedgefield, the Wyndham, the last chance to dance to get into those FedEx Cup playoffs. By the way, top 70 in the points make Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude next week. So ball strikers, guys that are great on approach, and you hear it every week, but this is not a very long course, the Donald Ross design down there in North Carolina. So a lot of your good iron players are who flourishes here. You don't have to take driver necessarily. So I will be playing some similar guys that I've been playing in recent weeks that have had good top 10, top 15 finishes, but haven't won. Ryan Gerard is certainly another one that I think I'm going to give another chance here at the Wyndham. So should be a fun event, and maybe not a star-studded because you don't have a lot of the big FedEx Cup point leaders in there, but should be very low scoring and a birdie fest here to end the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I've got an early one for everybody too, Wes. This is always the, hey, I haven't run all my numbers yet, so I'm going to say 90% sure I'm in on this guy, but Hideki was someone I bet last week, man. He finished number one in that tournament, tee to green. I think it was lost it with the putter. Same old story with Hideki Matsuyama, but he's really put together some quality finishes here over the past month or so. 32-1 I'm staring at right now on Hideki. I think I'm going to be back in on him. All right, let's transition over to college football here. You wrote up Big Ten for the College Football Betting Guide. Three-team race, is that what we're really looking at here, Wes?
Probably, I think, with Indiana, with Oregon, with Ohio State, and then you kind of have that second group that's looking to get in that top four. I think Michigan is part of that. I think USC is part of that. Also Penn State with a completely new regime and almost a completely new team is part of that. But yeah, I think it's a three-team race. Indiana certainly has, I think, the schedule dynamics certainly favor them not having to face Oregon in the regular season. They do get Ohio State at home in October, where that might be the only game that they're an underdog all season. So yeah, I think that is what we're essentially looking at, and probably for the playoff, like last year, you know, four teams from the Big Ten, four teams from the SEC, and then the other four teams dispersed among Notre Dame, ACC champ, Big 12 champion, and the G6 winner.
I'm just curious because you're an Indiana grad. You were along for the ride for the national title. You have Indiana in the betting guide winning the Big Ten, but you have Oregon winning the national title. Talk to me. What's the difference there? Why do you think the Ducks get over the top?
Yeah, when I look at the Ducks, Dustin, I just think the returning production that they have is as good as anybody in the conference. I think bringing your quarterback back, getting healthy at receiver, they weren't as healthy at running back at the end of the season, and it really showed, I think, because, you know, Indiana and the Peach Bowl just stuffed them. They couldn't do anything, and they were forced to throw, and then the defensive line of the Hoosiers could just pin their ears back and force Dante more turnovers. But I think that they're going to be good on both lines, particularly the defensive line. They might have the best defensive line in the country, and if you get an Oregon-Indiana rematch in the Big Ten championship game from the Peach Bowl, you might have the best O-line against the best defensive line, with Indiana having the best offensive line. I think the schedule just sets up for Indiana here with who you avoid. You don't have to play Oregon. You do have to go to Michigan, who certainly should be solid, but you get USC at home, and you just don't get a lot of those, you know, grinder games like Ohio State is going to get. I think Ohio State, they play 7 of the top 9 projected finishers in the Big Ten. Now, they don't get any of the bottom ones. They don't get any of the Purdue's or the Rutgers that are projected to finish at the bottom of the conference, but the schedule is still daunting. Plus, you get that non-conference game with Texas. So I think Indiana, they would be my pick just based on the schedule, but Oregon, I think maybe a lot of people sleeping on them out there, because their last impression, of course, was in that Peach Bowl getting curb stomped in Atlanta by Indiana. And I think that Dan Lanning, he's got that edge to him, right? You know, they're going to be motivated, and they're going to be reminded all season, we got absolutely humiliated. So I think the Ducks are out for blood this season.
Yeah, and they're going to be able to run the football because they have running backs who are healthy this go-around. Wes Reynolds is our guest, VSiN betting analyst. His write-up on the Big Ten is available right now in the College Football Betting Guide up at VSiN.com. You can start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You said it before, though. 4 teams out of the Big Ten likely playoff bound. Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon is a given. Which direction are you looking for that 4th team? Is it Penn State, which is essentially Iowa State from a year ago in the Big Ten? Is it USC with Maiava back, all of their offensive linemen returning? Maybe it's Michigan with Kyle Whittingham taking over and Bryce Underwood back. Who is that 4th Big Ten playoff team?
It is Penn State for me, and I think a lot of it is the schedule. Of course, we know what happened last year. They started 3-0, and then they lose in double overtime to Oregon, and then they went in that tailspin and lost at UCLA, lost to Northwestern. James Franklin got fired. Matt Campbell gets hired. He was not the first choice there in State College, but he may be the best choice. Best decade in program history that they had, you said it, Dustin, at Iowa State. Keep in mind, this team 2 years ago, at least the base of this team that's now at Penn State, they went 11-2 and went to the Big 12 championship game and were 8-4 last year with Rocco Beck playing through a bunch of different injuries, the torn labrum, ankle, concussion, you name it. But they bring in 24 players from Iowa State. So this is kind of like they're doing the Cignetti from James Madison on steroids here with Penn State, bringing all these guys in here. But experienced quarterback who played Power 4 football, 39 consecutive starts, a lot of their weapons in terms of receiver with Carson Hansen at running back. They've got a lot of talent there. And I think that they'll be able to compete with the physicality, because keep in mind, they play that Cy-Hawk game every year against the Iowa Hawkeyes, and they've won 3 of the last 4 against Iowa. So you got to be physical up front in the Big Ten. And I think Iowa State will be, plus the schedule. They avoid Oregon. They avoid Ohio State. They avoid Indiana. You do got to take a road trip to Michigan and to Washington, but they're going to be favored in every single home game. And I think getting these guys that have been together, you're going to have an easier time blending them than you would think, even though this is a step up in class. So Penn State, to me, is the one that just got the big break in the schedule, and I think they could get a lot of confidence early.
You want a great in-depth breakdown of the Big Ten? Check out the VSiN College Football Betting Guide wherever you get your money. At VSiN.com/subscribe. Well, it should only be VSiN.com for the betting guides. He's Wes Reynolds. You can read him there. Also, VSiN.com with the golf every week, at Wes Reynolds 1 on X. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Hey, 20 Leagues, One Mission, Just Win Bets, baby, is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name really says it all. I went on with the boys last week. We had a good old time.
There you go. Nice.
They were getting my WWE references that go over your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no shot here. Did you watch a SummerSlam over the weekend? Was that yesterday?
No,
Saturday?
No, because I graduated from seventh grade, I think, in 1998. Most wins Major League Baseball in the month of August. Gil Alexander's bet got off to a good start. So did mine. What should we look at? That's next on A Numbers Game.